Excellent. Well, we started last week our series on your best life. Who's having their best life? You can have an average life or you can have your best life. It's good to actually be positive about your life anyway. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got just the best life. We are blessed in Australia. Come on. We're blessed. We're so blessed. And we might moan that there's a bit of traffic in front of us, but it's a first world problem, not a third world problem. You know, and so, it's great to be able to afford to buy food. It's great to be able to afford to buy something to drink or go out for a coffee, whatever it is that you enjoy doing. Buy a new dress for your wife. Yeah, take that as a, yeah, go and do that this week. And if you haven't bought flowers for your wife for a while, do that as well. Or chocolates. I want to talk to you today, and I really want to teach. And for those of you who weren't here last week, I started a series, Your Best Life, which we're going to look at. Before we get there, we're going to go to Impact, so you're spot on. Thanks, Michael. I just want to just do a bit of a recap. And if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to download the message from our website. It will help you. Even if you test God every week and you bring your tithes into the house, it's a great message that will bring faith into your life. And so this week I want to continue Your Best Life. And with these first 2 weeks, we've been looking at money and particularly tithing. And so I want to go there again today. Let's look at this Impact 2015, because it's sort of like the middle of the year and it's easy to forget where we started at the beginning of the year. And we're talking this morning on how can Jesus impact me greater? How can Jesus impact me greater? And in this particular area of our life, in the area of finances, you know, the more we trust God, the more we are able to release ourselves from ourselves. And really, at the end of the day, who'd like to be closer to Jesus by the time they get to heaven? A few of us. And so I think this is really important. You know, what we do with our money impacts others. I'm going to talk about that today. And as a result of that, we are then able to reach our community as well. And so this series, Your Best Life, let's put that next slide up, thanks. Either the thumbs up. All right. So our desire today is to get closer to God. That's why we do life together, right? We want to get closer to Him. We want to be more kingdom-minded people. And so last week we looked at God's test. What do you mean? Let me refresh your memory with this scripture, Malachi 3:10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. You know, it's good to keep the people that supply the word of God in good health and spirits. Oh, no. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. What a great verse. And so who are you going to thank for your income? Maybe another way of putting this would be, who's the most important person or entity in your life? Some people thank Visa. To whom are you going to thank first? Some people thank their bank or their mortgage. Some people thank their family. And the only issue with that is that the family or the bank cannot bless your finances. Only God can bless your finances. And so last week we looked at that tithing is biblical. Turn to your neighbor and say, tithing is biblical. We looked at that it was before the law. Jesus mentioned to do it. And it's also mentioned in Hebrews that Jesus himself receives our tithe. That makes me want to tithe. Tithing brings the blessing on the 90%. Or if you do not tithe, it brings a curse on the 100%. It's a consequence of not tithing. And so in 2 Chronicles 31:10, Hezekiah made all these reforms. And one of the last reforms which he made, the most important one, was in respect to tithing. And there was piles and piles and piles of livestock and food goods. They didn't know what to do with them. And he says this, "Since the people began to bring their offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people. And what is left is this great abundance." So this morning, the title of my message is, who is really in control? Who is really in control? Now, I thought I'd do a little illustration this morning. I'd like to choose three men. So Steve, you're on the front row. I'm going to use you. Please come and join me here. Chris, you up for it? Jonathan's already moving. Fantastic. Come and stand facing this way. I'm going to go away for a while. And I'm going to channel funds through you to look after my wife. I'm actually going to give you $10,000 each per month. And all it's funny already. All I want you to do is to give $1,000 a month to my wife. The rest is yours.
That's a good deal.
Who thinks it's pretty good so far? So about 3 months later, hello, darling. Great. How you doing? Doing well. Well, you know, it was about 3 months. I said I'd check up on how the guys are doing, how they're looking after you. Please don't take this seriously, okay? That's all we're talking. But we'll get the gist of it. And Andrea says back to me, you know, Jonathan's been good and faithful at exactly the right time. $1,000 comes in every month. He's spot on. Oh, that's great, I say. And then Chris, how's he doing? Absolutely fantastic. You know, I think you told, wasn't it, didn't you say $1,000? Yeah. He's putting $2,000 every month. I only asked, wow. What a generous guy. We like Chris. He doesn't say much, but hey, his actions are louder. How cool is that? And then there's Steve. We need to talk about Steve. The first month, he was late, but eventually he gave me $700. The second month, he was even later and he gave me $300. And the third month, well, I'm still waiting. How do you think that makes me feel? I'm giving them $10,000 each. All I'm asking for is $1,000 for my wife to look after her. How do I feel? I'm not feeling good at all. I feel like, actually, Steve, you know, this is only an illustration. I feel like you can't be trusted. I'm actually thinking, you know what? I'd rather give to these other two guys that are doing the right thing. You know, I was just thinking about this and how God, actually, you guys just stay there for a second. I'll just make sure I don't mess this up. How do you think I'm going to feel? I'm not going to send any more money to Steve. Because he's proven to me, as I was saying, that he can't be trusted. And I'm going to take what I was giving to him and I'm going to give it to Chris and to Jonathan. And Jesus said, I'm going away for a while, and while I'm away, will you please look after my bride? See, I think that tithing may be more personal to Jesus Christ than we actually think. Is the church the bride of Christ? How important is this principle? Does God want us to look after his church? Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, guys. Give him a clap. He wants to provide. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to provide. But why would he bless those who are not concerned about his wife? It's a test. Make a commitment today to do it God's way. You are not a bad person if you are not tithing right now. We all have situations and areas of our life that we struggle with. Don't feel condemned. However, the Word of God should bring conviction by the Holy Spirit. Make the decision to change this area of your life if you need to. And watch what God does. It's his test. In Luke 16, the words of Jesus. Yeah, I've got the PowerPoint for this. And I say to you, this is the, I think it's just the New King James actually. I say to you, make friends for yourselves, and I'm using this word mammon for a reason, as you'll see in the rest of my message. I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. I'll explain that word in a moment. That when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Say it with me. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and, which is actually a repeat of Matthew 6:24. So three times this word is mentioned by Jesus. So my first point this morning, what is mammon? I'm glad you asked. And most modern translations call this word money. But I believe it is a little more than money. It is a spirit that wants to dominate your thinking. Mammon is an Aramaic word which means riches. However, the word originates from the Syrian god of riches and can be defined as that in which one trusts. Mammon was a false deity that came from Babylon. They believed they did not need God. Probably the most famous example I can give you of this is the Tower of Babel. We call it Babel. In Genesis 11, you'll find the story. And they believed that they were greater than God, and they got together. I mean, they were all one language at that time, and they says, "We don't. We can do this on our own. The plans that we have are we can outdo anyone, even God. We can build a tower into heaven. We can be almighty." Our riches and our money is all we need to be the best in life. When you think about it, that is totally anti-Christ. It is prideful and idolatrous in nature. It is a spirit that contrasts itself with the Spirit of God. It is arrogant. It is prideful. It tries to replace God. And so it's extremely narcissistic in nature. And the Greeks have a story of a young person who actually falls in love with his shadow in the water. I was going to go selfie. Anyway, we won't. Interesting how life is the same generation after generation when it boils down to it. It seems to go back to either ourselves or God, one or the other. Be careful which one you choose. See, God caused them to babble on. He brought confusion through languages. The city never, ever was completed. There can only be one Lord of hosts. And what is clear from the outset of this passage in Luke 16, which Jesus is talking about, is that no person can serve God and mammon. No person can serve God and mammon. You cannot, Jesus is saying, you cannot serve me and serve mammon. No one can do both. Mammon wants you to look to it instead of God. Now, I'm quite sure most of us have been influenced by this spirit. Would I be correct? I'm sure I have. I'm sure we all do. Every day, actually, we're influenced to some degree by this spirit. And so I want to keep talking about this. It'll help us have our best life. We want to have our best life in Christ, yes? Some of you do. See, we live in a wealthy, affluent society, and it is important that we live under the right spirit. It's important that we thank God for His Word. That is our textbook for life, which gives us everything we need to live our best life. That doesn't mean it's always going to be comfortable, but it will certainly be our best life, our most purposeful life. My son was Facebooking me and saying that these people have given up everything. They're in their 50s and just work at the slums, and they haven't got a lot of money, but they refuse to be under they basically, see, it's not about how much money you have, it's about what you do with what you have. Our purpose is so important in life. I remember the first car. Well, the real car. I did have other cars. The first real car I ever had, it was a tricked up Toyota Hilux four-wheel drive, souped up the motor. It was very high off the ground. It felt like it was going to tip over. You know, it was that high. And I'd saved for this car for nearly 3 years. Paid cash for it. And, you know, I thought, you know, once I've got this car, I'll be happy for the rest of my life. When you're young, you think stupid things. You do grow up eventually. I took a long time to grow up. Like most boys, right? We're still boys at heart, right, men? And that's okay. But, you know, after a little while, I thought, man, this thing cost me a lot of money. you know, I've always got to pay into it. And in the end, it became a drudge. Like, it was just, oh. Anyway, isn't it true that what we think we know what we want from life, when actually God has the best plan for our life and contentment? And I believe God wants to prosper us and give us good things. Do you? Absolutely. However, I do not believe that the Bible teaches us that we should primarily give to get as a primary reason for our giving. We give primarily because we love and worship God. And as such, our desire is to be a blessing. Mammon will say, hold on to. God is generous by nature. He gave us his son. You can take down Babel now, Babel. The devil is mean-spirited by nature. John 10:10 talks about this. He's stingy. He's mean. And in this context, probably the most important, greedy. If we have a give-to-get mentality as our primary objective, what happens when something goes wrong financially? There's been a number of families over the years who have come to church because of financial need. I've been doing this job nearly 20 years. I've got some experience in this. And the good-meaning Christians, many of you, have prayed with them for circumstances to change. And their circumstances have changed. Who knows that God is a great God and a gracious God? Some of you have given them money or progressed them in some way. It might be because through our port care, it might be through other means, but we've helped other people. We do what the Bible we feel in our spirit to do, yeah? And once they have work or are back on their feet or have what they wanted within weeks, we don't see them anymore. Why? It's the spirit of mammon rather than God in control of their life. We do not want to become more selfish than we already are because we give to get. This is a spirit of mammon. The Tower of Babel was a false belief that we can maintain control of our lives by whatever plan we put into practice. We know what's best for our lives. If you are loyal to mammon and something goes wrong financially, it is easy to despise God. Mammon actually promises us everything only God can give us. Mammon promises identity and status, security, joy, peace, happiness. Only God can give you love, joy, and peace. Only God. Mammon can never deliver on its promise because it wants to rule. And Jesus said, you cannot serve God and... All through our lives, mammon is trying to get us to bow to mammon, serve mammon, worship mammon, live for mammon. And Jesus is saying, no. God is the only one who can provide everything that you need. And God is the only one who can provide identity, security, love, joy, peace. Contentment comes from. And so mammon says, if you have more money, your marriage will be better. Is that true? Well, in mammon's case, it is true, right? If I only have this. Why do men or women stay at work all those hours? Because they're under the spirit of? If you have more money, you'll be able to have a far better car and you'll be happier in life. If you had more money, you could have a better house. I'm not saying we can't upgrade things. I'm just saying in the spirit, if we take this as a spirit, how easily we can come under the spirit of mammon. And what about this one? If you had more money, you could help more people. I agree in the actual, but hear me out here. I give up. How many people have said to me, if I have more money, I'd be able to help you and you'd never have a problem again. We've leaped into spring or our story, our future. When I win lotto, I've had it said to my face that many times I cannot remember. It's a spirit. Primarily, money does not help people. God does. Primarily, money does not help people. God does. God does. I heard this week of people that I know that they don't have money. They don't have enough. Pastor Collie didn't have enough money to get up to Gorloo, which is an 11-hour drive down some very bad tracks to near the border of Guinea. Long way away, West Africa. And he was just praying. And someone rang him up and said, you need to go somewhere. And he says, yes, I do. He said, I'm going to give you my four-wheel drive because the roads are really bad. And I've filled it up with fuel and you'll be able to get there. And he's telling me this story last Thursday. Money is not the primary answer to all our problems. God is. Turn it over and say, God's the answer. You see, it's a contrast. Mammon and God are very different things. Jesus never told anyone that he needed more money. Seriously, Jesus never told anybody he needed more money. When the paralytic friends dropped him through the roof, Jesus didn't go, here's $1,000 for the medical bill. When Jesus encountered the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath, he didn't give him money for an operation, nor did he say, that'll be $1,000 for the healing today. See, there's a spirit of mammon operating in this world. He said, stretch out your hand. Who are you stretching to? Who are you stretching to? How important is it that we stretch toward our God who has the answer? He is the Lord Almighty. The miracle is always associated with our stretch toward God. The lame man from birth was placed at the gate of Bethesda every day to collect funds for himself and his family. From birth, all he could do was sit there and yell out. And when Peter and John saw him, they didn't say, here, take this money and go get the best doctor. It says, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have we give to you. Rise up and... if money can fix a problem, it's not a problem. Our floorboards at home were replaced this week through an accident. That happened. It was rather a large accident. A tap was left on for probably about an hour, we think. And basically the whole of our upstairs area needed replacing, including some of our kitchen cupboards. And when Andrew and I first saw the damage and walked in and saw it all, all the power was off, it was a mess. We looked at each other, what are we going to do? After a while, we just looked at each other and laughed. We have insurance. They did a great job. It's all fixed now. Took a week out of our life. We had a little holiday in an apartment in Fremantle while they were replacing all the floorboards. You see, money is not the answer to your problems. God is the answer to your problems. We get all nervous and upset or worried about the thing. God is the answer. You see, mammon is a spirit. And second, is money evil? Is money evil? See, in the Bible, there are three kinds of giving mentioned frequently. The tithe, which belongs to God. The tithe, which belongs to? Second, there's offerings. And third, there's extravagant offerings. They're mentioned all over the Bible, all throughout the Bible. Mammon is a spirit. And when I first started giving offerings to God, I would lay awake at night. When you give a significant offering to God, like for our Leap into Spring program coming up, when I first started this many years ago, sometimes I'd wake up and I'd go, what have I done? I'm not going to have anything left. It's a spirit. You know, we panic about things that God has under control in our lives. When we allow Him right process and practice in our life in this area. Mammon is a spirit which rests on money. And all money has a spirit on it. It either has the spirit of God on it or the spirit of mammon. And all the money you have right now, think about all the money you have in all your accounts. You're all wealthy people. Yes, in that account, and that account. Yeah, yep. Add it all up. The way you get God's spirit on your money, according to the scripture, is to give 10% to the house of God. Who'd like God's spirit on all your money? On all your money. God redeems the rest from under the spirit of the world when we give Him first the 10%. To answer the question, is money evil? No, money is not evil. Money is neutral. For the love of money, say it with me, for the love of money. I think it's a scripture, next one. Or a Bible program, 1 Timothy 6:10 actually. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's interesting to me that the very next passage of Scripture relates to the rich man and Lazarus at his door, and the rich man just didn't quite make it. You can look at it later, just on the side. What Jesus is saying in this, in Luke 16:9, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. See, take this unrighteous mammon and redeem it by giving the first to the house of God, and use the money that Satan uses for evil, and use it to build the kingdom of God, and they will become your friends in Christ. And when you fail, who knows, we're all going to fail. We're all going to die. I'm sorry, I know you're young, some of you guys, but hey, one day you're going to die. Sometimes we think we're a bit indestructible. I think that's a spirit of mammon too, actually. We're all going to face our maker at some point. Take this unrighteous mammon. And we redeem it by giving it to the house of God. And when you die, those people who you have helped into the kingdom of God will be cheering you on. Did you know that way back when you helped those people in Southeast Asia? Do you know when you helped those people in the Philippines? Do you know when you helped those churches establish themselves in Liberia? You know that you helped give, and if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be in the kingdom of God today. There are going to be people in heaven who welcome me and you. I am here because you gave. And God is the only one who can take unrighteous mammon and turn it into souls. That's true riches. Turn to your neighbor and say, true riches are souls. When we give into the house of God through our tithe, when we bring our offerings for guest speakers or something else, and when we give extravagantly to Leap into Spring, our missions program coming up at the end of August, or to our building, our story, our future, I'm looking forward to Wellard having its own property. You know, I know it's a few years away, but it's going to have its own place. When all this happens, when we give extravagantly or we give in these three areas, what do we do first? What's the first area of giving, which is actually just giving back to God for our gratefulness? It is the tithe. Then we give offerings. You know, it's great to give offerings to guest speakers. Oh. I said, guys, it's a fantastic thing to give offerings to guest speakers. Why? Because it opens up your heart to be generous. And you can look one week, well, yeah, I'd like to give to them, but no, they don't need the money. You know, Andrew and I have decided if they've got more, we love to give to them because we can be a part of the blessing. God has more coming back. It's a cycle. And so a spirit of mammon withholds because the devil doesn't want any more true riches. Is that true? He doesn't want any people in the kingdom of God. And so money is not evil. Turn to your neighbor and say, money's not evil. It's actually neutral. Oh, thanks, Jenny. But how we handle our money is very important. And so let's finish. What this point, what should I do with money? Remember the three men earlier? God wants us to be great stewards with what he provides. Be a good steward with what you have. But Pastor, I don't have enough money to be concerned about what you're talking about. Respectfully, if that is your way of thinking, you will never have any more. Jesus said it, Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. If you have a little and you don't tithe, you'll never have much. And what God does is this. We all start out with a little and he sees if he can trust us. And if he can trust us, he gives us more. Until we get to the level where we are a blessing to our family and a blessing to others. Be faithful with what God supplies. Luke 16:12. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? He, our Lord, has reserved the tithe. If you take it, it's stolen from God. And when we're not faithful with the tithe, we cannot be blessed by God in this area of our lives. I'd rather have a blessing on the 90% than a curse on the 100%. As a consequence of not obeying the Lord in this area of my life. See, God tests us with the first 10%. And so, who is really in control? True riches are people. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? The only thing that is going to last forever is souls. Today at C3 Freo, I would love to believe that every member of our church uses their money for eternal purposes. Things that last infinitely, not short term. When I used to go to the insurance office where I used to work years ago, it was a bit of fun as well. And this guy, I think he was a homeless man, He dressed like one. And he stood right in the middle of Walcott Street. I used to work in the city, and on the way from Balcatta, I used to drive where I used to live. And he had this big sign, "Turn or Burn." And it was a bit of a laugh, and sometimes I'd take people with me and we'd say, "I wonder if he's going to be there today." But he was right. Your houses are going to burn. Your cars are going to burn. Everything on this earth is going to burn. The only thing that has eternal part to it, look around you. Look around. Who'd like to see every single person here and all the people we influence, thousands around the world, in the kingdom of God? It is so important for me to give. That's the attitude when we have a spirit of Christ on our life rather than a spirit of mammon. God is taking what is unrighteous mammon. He is redeeming it through giving the first to Him. And when we give offerings, He is turning them into true riches. Heaven is being populated and hell is being plundered by our offerings. Will you honor the Lord in this area of your lives today? Why don't we stand on our feet? We're going to pray. We're going to finish on that song, "Our God is Great," or whatever it was, that third song, praise song. And if you need prayer, like any other area of your life, don't be embarrassed. I'd love to pray for you to this area and build faith into your life. If you need prayer for something else, we'll at the end of this message, right in a little while, we'll pray for that too. But I thought we'd finish on a song. Our God is great. See, mammon is a spirit. It's arrogant. It's prideful. It's antichrist. Money is neutral. It's what we do with it. Will you be faithful with what God has supplied? Father, I thank you today that you have all the power and all the authority to bring blessing on my financial world. I thank you, Lord, that I can be a partaker of the greatest ministry in the world when I worship you through giving. Today, Lord, I want to help me to build my faith and bring my tithes into your house. Father, I thank you, Lord, that when I can do this, Lord, that you have a generous spirit that can come on my life and I can give generously and see multiple people into the kingdom of God through my offerings. They are the true riches. And I thank you, Lord, that while everything may not be going so well financially, my life has purpose and in that I am content. And at the end of the day, Lord, I will trust you. In Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. If you'd like some prayer, we're going to sing this song and then we'll finish our meeting. Love you to have a coffee if you're visiting with us. Let's sing. Thanks, Eunice. Lead us.